And so as I already said, I met Pastor Ken back in 2017. We were working in the slums of Nairobi, which is some of the biggest slums in the whole world. And it was really amazing. My eyes were open to some things. I've been to a few places in the world that was kind of rough. But just the desperation in that place. When you see a place like that and you get the opportunity to share the love of Christ with them, you see how powerful the gospel is. Amen. And so Pastor Glenn was there with me. We had a team in there doing things. We had some medical people doing, helping them with medical things. And Pastor Glenn and Pastor Ken shared the gospel with that crowd, and it was really wonderful. So Pastor Ken, would you please come up? Can we just receive him right now as the house? I received the kid. All the kids are released along with the children's church workers. So Father, we just thank you for this man of God. Lord, we want to receive all that you've deposited in him. He's been faithful to bring it here, Lord. We want to be faithful to receive it. So we prepare our hearts. We prepare ourselves to receive the word of God with faith so it will accomplish what you sent it out to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Let's appreciate our pastor, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank God again for the opportunity just to be here to bring God's word to you. I want to believe from the depths of my heart and with every fiber of my being that God is indeed going to minister to you in the name of the Lord. I hope you're seated next to somebody, because from the church where I come from, we normally talk to one another. So please don't sit alone. Make sure there's someone seated next to you, because I wanted you to turn to that neighbor and tell them, neighbor. All right, you need to be talking to one another. Tell them, neighbor, you look like a good person, and I'm glad to be seated next to you. Yeah, that's what we do a lot in Kenya. We talk to one another. You know, we appreciate one another, and I'm so glad that I'm in this place today just to be able to bring the word of God to you. So we're going to be talking, you're going to be talking to your neighbor a lot. For those of you who are finding my accent to be a little bit difficult, I think you, by the end of it all, when it's recorded, you can play it real slow, so that you can be able to, get what I'm saying in this place, in Jesus' name. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of James. James chapter number 1. We want to read verse number 2 all the way through to 4. And I want to read it in the Message version. James. If you're a frequent reader of the Bible, you'll find the book of James just between Genesis and Revelation. You know, you'll find it there. Amen. James chapter number 1, verse 2 to 4. The Bible says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. I think I need to read it again for the second time for those who are trying to catch up to. Just read it through and just figure it out. It says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Oftentimes when you look at servants of God, there are times when we think as members of the church or the congregation that they don't go through anything difficult in their lives. So when you see them on Sunday morning, it's like the angels of the Lord normally releases them from the heavens and brings them into the sanctuary so that they don't go through anything here on earth. And once they are done with the ministry of the word, there will be an elevator from the earth to the heavens that take them back to the Father. And they don't go through any trouble. But I need you to understand that salvation is not a bed of roses. In fact, sometimes you will realize that before you got saved, you had everything going on in your life. And then the moment you received Jesus as your personal Savior, the bars were lifted so high that the things you thought were just normal are no longer normal. You'd look at a lady passing by and you would appreciate the creation of God. But then when Christ, you know, speaks to her, he says, if you look at her lustfully, then it's the same as you sleeping with her. So that's a sin. It was normal to you before. But the moment you accept the Lord Jesus, things change. And as I've been walking with the Lord for just a few years, about 25 in counting, just walking with the Lord, the last couple of years of my life has really been rough. It's really been difficult, filled with chaos and changes, and there's that burdensome feeling of uncertainty, and you're not sure about the future because of the things that life throws at you, left, right, and center. And sometimes you've got to be strong for the people that you're leading, and you have a lot of faith for the people that you're leading. But when you go through the same things, you realize you don't have enough faith for yourself. And it becomes difficult to be vulnerable to a member of the church to be able to pray for you because they expect you to be stronger than them in your walk with God. Until they end up realizing that you're a normal human being, just like they are. And it reaches a place when things are not working that you end up worrying about everything. Everything that is happening in your life. Because of the situations that you go through, the things you go through, the pitfalls you find yourself in, the portals you get yourself into. And sometimes you keep on wondering and asking yourself, God, where are you? I thought when I got saved, there will be no trouble whatsoever. I thought when you receive Jesus, you will not go through pain. There will be no suffering. There will be no sicknesses. There will be no diseases. And some of us find ourselves getting saved for the wrong reason. Running away from trouble so that you receive Jesus, so that he keeps you away from trouble. And then when you receive Jesus, you realize there's more trouble than where you came from. And so you keep on wondering, Lord, what is happening? And I know how I had purposed to do so many things in my life, and by the time I was hitting, 40, we believe that life begins at 40. And by the time I got into 40, I had a strategic plan of how my life was going to be, and I had everything well calculated on how things are going to be, and I had my own script that I was following because I knew if I lay them before the Lord, then the Lord will direct me. But what do you do when you've got a script and when God is working in your life, he goes off your script? How do you handle that? You give yourself fully to God. You serve God. You're never late for prayers. You're never late for fellowship. You pay your tithes. You give your offerings. You volunteer in church and you do all that needs to be done. And yet, things are not working out as they ought to be. What do you do at that particular time? And that's why the writer of James is telling us that these are trials. And he's not telling you to run away from these trials. He says, count it all joy. And you're like, how do you expect me to be joyful when there's no food on the table? How do you expect me to be joyful when I can't even be able to pay my mortgage? How do you expect me to be joyful when I can't even be able to afford school fees for my kids when they're going to their college or university? How do you expect me to be faithful? And God is simply saying, I'm taking you through all these things not to destroy you or to harm you. I'm taking you through all these things because I want to develop you. I want you to mature. And I don't want you to come out of it prematurely. So if you try to run away, I'll take you through another thing again. Because my desire is to build your spiritual muscles so that next time if anything happens in your life, you'll be able to stand to it. You stand at it at that particular time and say, the same God that delivered me from this thing yesterday has got the ability to deliver me from the current thing that is happening now. Amen. And so God passes you through the vicissitudes of life, not with the desire to harm you, but to build you up, but to be able to develop you. Can I hear somebody say an amen? Can I hear somebody say an amen? The reason as to why my desire is that you should be able to understand what faith is because faith is your passport to greater destinations in God. If you want to know God more, you don't walk by sight, but you walk by faith. And that's why God will push you through limits and situations in your life, because his main desire is to be able to produce someone that if he releases that particular individual in the marketplace, he will not recall you back because you're not able to function. And so he begins to work on you, and his desire is to be able to grow you and to develop you. And I know up to now, some of you are still asking, Pastor Ken, then what is faith? Why must this faith, go through a lot of trials? If you read the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, which is a very familiar portion of scripture, now that I'm in America, I want to read it from the New American Standard Bible. Yeah, amen. Hebrews chapter number 11, from verse number 1 to 6. The Bible says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Beloved of God, faith is so important that if you don't have it, you don't please God. He's only pleased by those who walk by faith. And the writer of the book of Romans tells us that faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. That every time you find yourself in the house of God, and Pastor Michael, anybody stands on this place and brings the word of God to you, it is your faith that is being built up. Because that's the work of the word of God. To build your faith and to challenge you. It is faith that determines what God can do in your life. And that's why the writer of Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 29 in the new NIV version says, according to your faith, let it be done to you. It is that faith that you have that determines what God can do in your life. That if you don't have faith in your life, then it means you've shut the doors for God to work in your life. Because faith is the only currency that operates in the kingdom of God. It is not emotions. It is not how many times you cry on the altar. No, it's faith. That's what God is looking at. Faith is so powerful that when you put just a little of it in a big God, you get big results. It is faith that turns dreams into reality. It is faith that we are using because that's the basis of our miracle. You walk by faith and God acts on that particular faith. Faith gives you confidence. It neutralizes fear. It gives you the ability to be able to press on. And that's why faith is so important. Without it, you cannot be able to please God. Without faith, you cannot fill this church. Without faith, you cannot be able to stabilize this church. You've got to do it by faith. Every single day when you wake up by faith. Because there are people who went to bed the same way you went to bed and they never woke up. But for you to be able to wake up in the morning and to find yourself in this church, it took faith. And that faith is so important for every believer. For me to believe God to come all the way from Africa and Kenya, miles and miles away, and come to this place, it takes faith. To be able to minister to people in different states in this very country and they receive the Lord, it takes faith. Because that's the currency that we operate in. And we're still asking ourselves, so what is faith? And I'm going to say four things and I'll pray with you. Number one, faith is facing the future without knowing how. Faith is facing the future without knowing how. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 11 and verse number 7 in the New Living Translation. The Bible says, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. None of us ever knew Corona will hit us. None of us ever knew we'll ever get into this pandemic. None of us ever knew that the world will come to a standstill. No flights. Automobiles are not moving from one place to another. You're not able to visit your own children if they're in another state. Nobody knew that the world would ever come to a standstill. None of us was prepared for it. And the majority of us, even right now, we are so afraid of the future because we have absolutely no idea of what will happen in the next few days, in the next few years, in the next few months, or in the next few weeks. And some of us are just hanging on. They don't know what will happen in their lives. Some of us are so much in disdain and in despair because we are like, I've been believing God to do a certain thing in my life and it hasn't happened and I don't know when it will happen. I had my goals, I had my dreams, I had my ambitions, I had my visions. I was believing God but that by this time I will have reached the zenith of my life. But if I look at what is happening currently, I'm not able to do anything. I can't even be able to tick one of the things that I wrote down in the beginning of this year that God has done. I really don't know what God wants to do with my life. Faith is facing the future without knowing how. There's some of us who are in a place whereby you feel like God has neglected you. God has forgotten about you. God is no longer talking to you. The heavens are shut on your behalf. You come to church and you're only going through motions because your future is bleak. You don't know what will happen. But I've come to encourage you today that if you've ever felt like that, if you've ever found yourself in that place whereby you are unsure about the future, then there is a verse in Jeremiah chapter number 29. And verse number 11, that is for you. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, but for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Please note, child of God, that these words are directed towards the person that has faith in God. Only the one who's got a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ can claim these words. Please note in that verse again if you read it. The Bible does not say, I know the thoughts that I have thought towards you. That is past tense. The Bible says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. That's present tense. Which means everything concerning me, everything about my life is in the hands of God. I can be able to trust Him with my life. I can be able to trust Him with my business. I can be able to trust Him with my children. Because every single day He's thinking about me. He's mindful about me. He's wary of everything that is happening in my life. So He has me every single day. He's thinking about me. And as much as God is thinking about you, I need to understand that His thoughts are not your thoughts. And His ways are not your ways. As much as He's thinking about you every single day, He might lead you in a different path that you're not aware of or that you don't want. But either way, the bottom line is He's thinking about you. And the best thing you can be able to do is to trust Him and put your life in Him. Noah was warned about a flood that was coming. He never knew when it was going to come. What will happen? He had to wait for 120 years. Just waiting for the flood to come. Because faith is facing the future without knowing how. You don't know what will happen. So you just put your trust in Him. That He is a good God. That He is a miracle worker. That He is a light in the darkness. That He is a door opener. That He is a way maker. So you put your life in Him every single day. And that's why Proverbs tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 to 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, not some, not part, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He says, and He will direct your paths. He will order your steps. If you put your trust in Him. Child of God, I need you to understand that we will not always understand God's ways, but we can be able to trust Him. That's why Paul writes to the Philippian church in the book of Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 6. And he says, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. If God has spoken in your life, God will make sure that that word comes to pass. If God says He will prosper you, He will make sure that that comes to pass. It doesn't matter what happens here on earth, as long as God has already spoken concerning your life, He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. Nothing ever happens to God by surprise. Nothing ever happens behind His back. When you dash your foot upon a stone, He's aware. When you make a mistake, He's aware. When you're unwell, He's aware. And when He allows all those things to happen in your life, He knows that you've got the grace to be able to handle that. And so all that He desires is that you may be able to trust Him and to believe Him and to talk to Him every day, because faith is facing the future without knowing how. Number two, faith is trusting God's purpose without knowing why. Faith is trusting God's purpose without knowing why. I know purpose is the original intent for the existence of a thing, based on the definitions that the late Miles Monroe, you know, gave us as he wrote his book, that purpose is the destination that prompts a journey. That purpose is the desired result that initiates production. And so faith is trusting God's purpose, that God has a plan for every single thing in your life. And if you're a keen reader of the Word of God, you will realize that when you read the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, everybody trusted God's purpose in their lives. They never asked God, why do you want me to leave my country? Why do you want me to build that big boat? Why do you want me to go over to the other side? Why do you want me to relate with this other person? Why do you want me to associate? No. Everybody took God at his word because they believed that God had a purpose, that his intentions for your life were right. So whether it was Noah to build the ark, as much as God was going to bring a massive flood, all that Noah did was to believe God, take him at his word. When Abram was told to leave his country and go to a land that God will show him, he believed that there was a purpose in that journey. So he took God at his word. When Sarah was old and the angel of the Lord said that you will receive a child, she took God at his word, regardless of her situation. In fact, if you read your Bibles in Hebrews 11:11, the Bible tells us very clearly that she considered him faithful who had promised. Because she took God at his word, regardless of her circumstances. Despite all the arguments of logic, she took God at his word. Regardless of how she felt and what was going on in her life, she took God at his word. Because faith is trusting God's purpose without knowing why. I just know you have a good plan for me. I just know my life is in your hands. I just know whatever you're doing in my life is not to harm me. But you have a good future for me. So I don't want to judge my future based on my present, because my future is in the hands of God. The roadmap to my destiny is in the hands of Jehovah. And so I'm facing this future with the knowledge that there is something that God is doing in my life. Faith is trusting God's purpose without knowing why. Number three, faith is expecting a miracle without knowing when. Faith is expecting a miracle without knowing when. I don't know when it will happen, but I'm praying. I don't know when the doors will open, but I'm praying. I don't know when I will get married, but I'm praying. I don't know when the promotion will come, but I'm just trusting him, taking him at his word. And if you're a child of God, you'll have this confidence in 1 John chapter number 5, verse 14 to 15. The Bible says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. That's the confidence that we have. I'm expecting a miracle, but I don't know when. But I have confidence that anything I ask of him, he hears. He's already said he will do it, but I don't know when. But I know he hears. I don't know which way, but I know he hears. And so I'm in anticipation every single day for something bigger in my life. Because I know the God that I serve hears. The God that I serve answers prayers. The God that I serve opens doors. The God that I serve heals diseases. The God that I serve brings reconciliation in families. That's the God that I serve. I'm expecting a miracle, but I don't know when. But I have faith that this God is going to do it. If you read your Bible, it's one of the most remarkable thing about the Bible narratives is the presence of miracles and miracles and miracles. And by miracles, we mean events and occurrences that cannot be explained by the laws of nature. Something that we are not even familiar with. Miracles are these visible results. These are divine interventions. And what constitutes a miracle is dependent on a personal view of God. In other words, the God you see is the God you get. And faith is that which gives God room to work. If you see God as a problem solver, he will do it. If you see God as one who answers prayers, he will do it. It is the God you see, that's the God you get. If you see him as a carpenter, you'll get your furniture fixed. But if you see him as a savior, you will get your life fixed. Because the God you see is a God you get. And there is absolutely no undeniable relationship between faith and miracles, because faith gives us eyes to recognize the miracles that are going to happen. Faith is expecting a miracle without knowing when. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. This woman heard that Jesus was passing by. And as she heard that Jesus was passing by, the scripture says, she said to herself, if only I can but touch the hem of his garment, then I know I'll be made whole. She never knew when. She never knew how. But all she did was to appear within the crowd, defied all the laws, and appeared in the crowd. And she kept on pushing and pressing and saying, if only I can but touch. If only I can but touch. She kept on saying to herself, I don't know when this infirmity will go. I don't know when my healing will come. I don't know when I will be whole. I don't know when I will get a job. But I'll keep on pressing. I'll keep on pushing, because if only I can touch. There are those who are also trying to touch him. There are those who've got issues with him coming out of his closet. But she kept on saying, if only I can touch. I'm the only one who knows the things that I've been going through. I'm the only one who knows the pain that I've had in my life. So regardless of what people are saying, I'm pressing on and I'm focused on this Jesus, because he's the author and perfecter of my faith. And I know if only I can but touch the hem of his garment. And the scripture says that when she touched the hem of Jesus, her flow of blood ceased from that day henceforth. And until Jesus recognized this kind of touch and said to the disciples, who touched me? And those who walk by sight responded, Master, you see everyone thronging around you. How do you ask who touched me? And Jesus was like, there's someone who touched me, and the touch was a touch of faith. And I felt power, I felt virtue come out of me, because she touched me by faith. Child of God, faith is expecting a miracle without knowing when. And at times your faith may waver. And that's why it's being challenged. Abraham was told he'd be a father of many nations, but it didn't happen instantly. In fact, if you read the book of Genesis chapter 15, verse number 1 to 3, the Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. That's a promise. But Abram said, just like many of us, oh Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. He was expecting a miracle, but he didn't know when. And it took so much time that he had to go back to God and tell God, wait a minute, God. This faith thing is not working with me now. I need an assurance from you. When will it ever happen? And I know the majority of us in this place who've been believing God for things and stuff in their lives, and you don't know when it will happen. God told me to come and tell you, have faith in God. In due time, it will happen. There's nothing impossible with our God. That miracle will happen. He says in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 27, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? And Jesus looks at the multitude in Matthew 19:26. He looks at the multitude and he says, with man this is impossible, but with God, All things are possible. Child of God, never lose the awareness of who God is. Never lose the awareness of what God can do. I remember one day, just as I'm about to close, I remember one day I went for a mission. And I do a lot of missions in Kenya. I'm the evangelism coordinator for missions in Deliverance Church Umoja, a church of about 12,000 members. We meet about 10,000 people per Sunday. And we went for a mission somewhere. And as we went to that place, I found an old lady. She had, I think you call them a bracelet. Her leg was broken. And there's something she had put on as a shoe. You know, and there were metal bars, you know, were on her legs. And when we went to that place and we were ministering to her, in Kenya, we're used to taking tea with sugar. So we are not used to taking tea without sugar. And so she gave me tea without sugar. And I was asking her for sugar. And she said, I don't have any. All I can be able to give you is to give you tea without sugar. And I said, all right, I'll receive it, because the scripture tells us that you should be receiving some of these things that are given to you with gladness. And so I received it, and as I was taking it, I was praying and asking God to make sure that the tea can be able to go down my throat, because I'm not used to it because of the taste. And I took that tea, and as I was looking at her, she said, you said you're a pastor. I said, yes. He said, I've had many pastors who've passed by here, and they've been praying for me and telling me that God will heal me. It's been over 5 years, and I haven't seen this healing. So what kind of God are you serving? And that struck me, because I was like, oh God, you said in your word, you'll never put me to shame. You will never leave me. You will never forsake me. This woman is asking me a hard question. It is only you that can do what she wants. And as I was sipping my tea, the Lord, you know, just spoke into me and said, I want you to stop taking your tea, and I want you to ask her to sit down and lay your hands on her. And as I told her I want to pray with her, she was expecting a miracle, but she didn't know when that will happen, because she's had lots and lots of prayers. And as I prayed with her, tears started coming out of my eyes, because this is something that I hadn't tried before. And so I prayed for her, and in the middle of prayers, the metal bars just started getting off her legs by themselves. Wow. It's like God was doing a quick surgery by himself. And all that thing just fell off from her leg. And she began to walk from that day, because faith is expecting a miracle without knowing when. Right. Now, there's no faith here. Let me come to this one. I think there's a lot of faith here, because they're still looking at me. There's a time in our church, we've got very well-trained ushers, you know, who receive people in the house of God. And there's a time I was taking tea in the pastor's lounge, and I had a scream outside. And I asked one of the ushers just to go outside and find out what is really going on. Who's this causing chaos in our church compound? And I went and got a woman who was running around and shouting, God is unfair! God is unjust! God is unfair! And because they are very spiritual ushers, they believed that was a demon. And so they seized the woman and just brought her into the pastoral lounge, and they were casting out the demon out of her. Come out! And the Lord said to me, please ask the woman what's wrong with her. And I asked the ushers, please stop. Let there be order in this place. And I asked the woman, what's wrong with you? And she told me, God is unfair. I said, why do you say God is unfair? And she said, because I believed God for a baby for the last 7 years. And God blessed me with a baby. But now she's not breathing because God has taken her away. And I was like, wait a minute. How old is your baby? And she said, my baby is 3 weeks old. I said, ah, no. Sometimes 3 weeks old babies sleep for a long time. You'll think they're dead, but they're still sleeping. They're just okay. And she said, have you ever been a mother? I said, I've been a father. I've got two sons. And she said, Now, I need you to call my husband. This is the number. If you think I'm lying to you, I need you to call my husband now. And I called the husband. And the husband was crying on the other side. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, oh, our son has already started turning gray on his face. You know, he's gone. He's not breathing. I'm like, why don't you take him to the hospital? And they're like, why should we take him to the hospital and he's already gone? So we'd rather spend the rest of the minutes with him while he's here. And so we decided to make a prayer just to wish her away, because we know that that's beyond what we can do, because we advised her, go to the hospital, report to the police, let them pick the body and take it to the hospital. And we prayed with her. And as we were praying, the Lord directed me to stretch forth my hand towards the house where she was, because it was near the church. And I said, Lord, you are not limited by distance. If you can be able to do this, not you're able to do it, I said, if you are able to do this, do it for her in Jesus' name. And then I released that lady. I told her, I want you to go back home. We've prayed together. And the lady said, Pastor, I'm not going home alone. You've got to take me home and show me that the God you've just talked to has done it or not. And all that was putting me in a bad spot. Because what if the Lord doesn't do it? Or if the Lord does it, what will happen? And so I got into my car and we were driving and I was just praying in tongues inside. I'm like, oh God, if you can only be able to do this. Now, I don't want to pray if you will be able to do it. Do it. Do it just to be able to save the soul of this woman. Just for your glory. And by the time we reached her place, people were shouting and crying. And I was like, oh God, I don't want to get out of this car because people are still crying. Little did I know that when we made that prayer to wish her away, the Lord touched the baby. And the baby sneezed and began to breathe again. And the people that were outside were shouting because God had done it for them in that place. And I had to get into that house to go and check whether it is true. And yes, the baby was breathing. I even held the baby and just put him on my shoulder and thanked God while crying and tears are coming out of my eyes. Because faith is expecting a miracle without knowing when. The only unfortunate thing is like it's kind of God changes hands. So the life of this young boy, the life of this young boy that, you know, we prayed for and the Lord touched him and resurrected him. As much as he enjoyed life, when I went back home to my house, my son died. And I tried to make the same prayers and have the same faith, but he never woke up. I like, wait a minute, God. Why do you have to test my faith to this extent? Why would you just allow the other one to go away and not mine? But God was like, if you can be able to trust me. It's a difficult place to find yourself in. But if you can be able to trust me. I made all manner of prayers. And nothing happened. And I buried him. But when I look at this other child, I'm so grateful to God that the kid has grown up. The kid is now about 9 years of age. That God touched him. Faith is expecting a miracle without knowing when. Finally, let me close with this. Faith is following God's leading without knowing where. Faith is following God's leading without knowing where. If you read Hebrews 11 and verse number 8, the Bible says it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner, living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Faith is following God's leading without knowing where. It's God's desire in this time and age that we should step out of our comfort zones and begin to trust Him with the unknowns. And we have to deliberately leave room for God to be able to guide us as we walk in faith. Because if God decides to show us every step of our exact lives, then it wouldn't require faith at all for us to follow Him. And so we've got to leave room for Him, because if we know exactly where we are headed beforehand, then I think sometimes that idea might not really be from God. But if we can be able to allow God to lead us, then it frees us from our own ideas. And we cannot afford to be stuck in one place, because we know God is leading us. I want to give you a testimony as I close today. The Lord spoke to me a few years ago. It's about 7 or 8 years ago. Just to resign from my workplace and join my bishop for full-time ministry. I had already served in that church for over 22 years. But I hadn't done it like full-time, like the only job that I'm doing. And the Lord told me to append my signature on that very resignation letter and just hand it over and believe Him with the future. It was a difficult thing to do. As I wrote the email, I was really asking myself several questions. Is this right? Is it my own feelings? Is it God? What is going on? And I appended my signature and handed over the resignation letter. And when I did that, my manager was so annoyed with me that he told me, "You are expected to give a 6-month notice before you resign. And because you have given us a 2-month notice, we will charge you for the next 4 months." That's what is in the bylaws of the company. I had worked there as a quality assurance supervisor for 14 good years. And so what they decided to do was to get all the pay that I was supposed to have. And the boss decided to look for any debt that I have and will deposit some amount there. Then picked about $3,000 and said, "This one, you are paying the company." And spread that money. And after 14 years, they gave me a check of $120. And then I was asking God, "Did I really hear you well?" I know faith is following God's leading without knowing where, but did I really hear you well? After 14 years, how do I leave with a check of $120? And then I went to my bishop and I told my bishop, "Well, you know, the Lord spoke to me just to be able to leave my workplace and come and serve together with you." And I expected him to say, "I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for this. I'll talk to the human resources manager just to put you in the payroll immediately." That's what I thought. The first words that came from his mouth were, "Welcome to the work of faith." I'm like, "What?" He said, "Yeah, welcome to the work of faith." And I never received any salary that entire year. And yet I'm serving. And I would be sent to different places. They said, "We will take care of your house rent, but we can't put you on the payroll." Then I went to Botswana to preach in a place called Francistown. And the Lord blessed me so much in that area that there are some people who were in that congregation that were from China. They went to China, and when they needed someone to come and teach about the Holy Spirit, they said, "We had a man from Kenya while we were in Botswana. If we can be able to get that man to this place, he'll teach us." And they sent me a ticket. They got me an apartment for a full month teaching about the Holy Spirit in all their campuses. The amount of money they gave me as honorarium was equivalent to all the amount of money my boss took away a year before. And then when I came back to church, they gave me a responsibility to go and pastor a church in one of our areas. It's a place in Mombasa. I went with Pastor Mike that time. I was their driver then. I never knew that a year later I'll become a pastor of that church. So it's like they took me there to spy the land and see what was going to happen. And I was in that church. I had 300 members when I was being introduced. And I was so happy that I've got a big church. And then the next Sunday, those who turned up in church were 10. The choir never showed up. The instrumentalists never showed up. I sang, led praise and worship with a friend of mine who was playing the keyboard. I became an usher, collected the offerings, counted the offerings and banked the offerings, prayed for the nation and brought forth the word of God. And I went back home and I was asking God, you told me faith is following God's leading without knowing where, but I don't understand. Where are all these people? And God reminded me the words of my bishop. Welcome to the work of faith. And I kept on working and praying and became so sedulous, you know, working and working. To cut the long story short, by the end of the year, I had 700 members, 2 services in that particular area. And then I thought I would continue to be the pastor of that church. And my bishop said, your work is done in that place. Your work was to stabilize that church. Now you come back home. And I handed over that church. And from that time, God has given me the grace to be stabilizing churches. And that's what I'm even doing right now in another church. Move them from a congregation of 350 within a year. In the month of May, I'll be celebrating a year in that particular church. We've got about 1,000 members right now in that church. And I got employed in that church. And I got on the payroll. Because faith is following God's leading without knowing where. There are some decisions you will make in your life and you'll be wondering whether they are God-led. But if you can only be able to have a little faith about the decision that you're making and put it before the Father, this God who orders the steps of righteous people is able to bring it to pass if you can only be able to trust Him. And so as we conclude today, I want you to go home with this, that faith is facing the future without knowing how. Faith is trusting God's purpose without knowing why. Faith is expecting a miracle without knowing when. And lastly, faith is following God's leading without knowing where. So Lord, I want to thank you and honor you for the opportunity that you've afforded me as your servant to come and speak to this body of believers. I'm so grateful, Lord, for the opportunity to do so, because it's my prayer that the entrance of your word will shed light and bring understanding to the simple. That we shall not only be hearers of your word, but we shall also be doers of the same. And so, Lord, it's my prayer that may you help us to grow our faith. And I pray that none of us will give up while you're chastening us. None of us will give up while you're working on us. None of us will give up while you're trying to develop us. But I pray that all of us will mature and be able, King of Glory God, to do the things that you've purposed we ought to do. And so therefore, Lord, it's my prayer that may you cover your sons and your daughters with your precious blood. May you enable them to walk in the light of the revelation of the word they have received. May they walk in divine health. May they walk in divine protection. May they walk in divine providence. May they all walk in divine favor. Let them walk in divine grace, O God. May you affect and influence every choice and decision they will make in life. Order their steps, O God. Bless the works of their hands. Let them never beg. Let them never borrow. but let them lend to nations to the glory and honor of your name. Lord, I thank you for all that were listening to me today. If there's anyone of them who is unwell, Lord, I'm praying for them by faith. And may you release your healing virtue upon their lives, from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. If there's anyone of them, Lord, believing you for an open door, King of glory, I pray for them by faith that you are the God who holds the keys of David, and the doors that you open, no man can shut. And the doors that you shut, no man can open. So I pray, swing wide open doors of opportunities for your sons and your daughters to be able to enter in and become better. So bind us with cords of love and of unity to the glory and honor of your name. With all heads bowed down and every eye closed, maybe you're in this place and you're not born again. Or you're in this place and because of the challenges of life, you backslid. And you want to come back to the Lord, or you want to give your life to Jesus. If there's anyone in our midst, would you please shoot up your hand wherever you are. I'll pray with you wherever you are in the name of Jesus. You are not born again and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, shoot up your hand. If you're a backslider and you'd like to rededicate your life to Jesus, you'd like to come back to him, you can also shoot up your hand wherever you are, and I'll pray together with you in the name of Jesus. I'll pray together with you in the name of the Lord. If there is anyone, just shoot up your hand wherever you are, and I'll pray together with you in the name of Jesus. If there is none, may the Lord God bless you. May the Lord God keep you, and may his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and do you good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's just give the Lord a praise. Celebrate him in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Pastor Ken. As most of you know, I haven't always been a pastor. I was in Tule and Die for about 20 years, and I've been pastoring for about 18 years. And I always like to say that we're all in full-time ministry. Just some of us work at church, some of us work in missions, but all of us are full-time ministry. And so the faith that Pastor Ken encouraged us with today, it's not just for the Abrahams, it's not for the missionaries and the pastors. It is, but it's for all of us. So wherever you're at, whatever God's doing in your life, whatever you're going through, I just want to encourage you. Look up some of the verses that he shared with us today. Because the Bible doesn't ever say that faith comes through a new Christian CD, or faith comes through watching some guy on TV, or even the pastor at church. Faith only comes, if you want to grow your faith, faith only comes through the Word of God. And so get in the Word. Look up even one of the promises that Pastor Ken shared with you, even one of them, and then meditate on it. Write it down. Put it in your pocket. Stick it on your mirror. Put it on your fridge so that today you're going to stir faith with that one promise. And then you're going to run into it again tomorrow, and you're going to stir faith with that. And if you do that all week, by next Sunday, your faith will have grown. Your faith in the Word of God, which is a promise by God to you. Amen? I'm not going to try to re-preach your sermon. You did great. I just want to encourage us. Don't leave this message for the pastors and the evangelists and the international travelers. This is a message for each one of us today. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just received your word. I already said it earlier, but I just once again, I want to say to you, Father, we receive your word that you brought to us through this man, and we believe that it's going to bear fruit in each one of us now. Holy Spirit, would you remind us of that scripture that you spoke to us? What was the scripture that spoke most to each one of us? Holy Spirit, remind us, remind us, remind us, because of your great love for us. I ask this in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome week. I remind you of the small groups happening all during the week. And I'd love to see all of you over there in the fellowship room for coffee. We have cupcakes and cookies and all kinds of stuff that was left over from last night's meeting. So God bless you. Have a great week.